The following programming is sponsored by the Museum of Sports. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
In any great drama, you need heroes and villains. The Flyers are both.
Here we go. Oh, now they got the hands free.
This is going to be a wild show.
And the whole boat's empty.
Talk about blood being spilled. Actual blood.
Here's Chilton and Ralph.
It's a badge of honor to be a goon.
Every one of us is a walking museum of sports, from that first ball game with your parents to maybe getting that nervous, sweaty autograph to perhaps even taking your own kids to their very first game. It's the feeling we all get that brings us back to our own individual Philly Field of Dreams, and the Museum of Sports show is on the air and ready to go there with you. I'm Doug Scheimel, our show dedicated to sports memories, memorabilia, and the museum that's going to capture it all right here in Philadelphia. We're live on the Talk 860 and Museum of Sports Facebook pages, so take a look. Museum of Sports show brought to you every week by the Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. Joining me, as always, from his sports cave in Villanova, he is truly our guide and our mentor, Comcast Spectacor legend, founding vice president of the Philadelphia Flyers and creator of the Museum of Sports and author of the book Blades, Bands, and Ballers, How Flash and Cash Rescued the Flyers and Created Philadelphia's Greatest Showplace. Ladies and gentlemen, Philadelphia's greatest showman, Mr. Lou Scheinfeld. How you doing, Lou?
I'm doing well. The pressure's off. We don't have to agonize through 3 hours of Phillies games only to see them blow it, lose with the worst bullpen in the history of playoffs. And after a pretty decent, although going downhill season, but a throwback to the old days, Doug. World Series coming up, definitely going to have a team from New York in it.
Yep.
Well, I shouldn't say definitely, but it looks pretty definitely. And it looks like a team from Los Angeles. So it may be the Dodgers-Yankees going back to Mickey Mantle, Jackie Robinson, yep, and those days in the 40s and 50s that I grew up with. And, you know, the Yankees have not won a pennant in 15 years. Who can believe anything like that? But we'll talk about the wonderful Philadelphia teams in a few minutes.
Absolutely. Hey, coming up today, he grew up in a huge grew up as a huge Philly sports fan in Northeast Philadelphia, and then somehow wound up being a lawyer and wound up at the state capitol in Harrisburg. Pennsylvania State Representative Jared Solomon is going to be here talking about his sports memories and memorabilia. And he may be one of Philly's top sports fans, who Lou Scheinfeld has officially dubbed Spectrum Superfan. Mr. John Pisa is back here on the Museum of Sports show. He's going to have some memorabilia and memories for us. And our King of Sports Collectibles is here to talk about what is hot and what is not and what's affordable in the memorabilia market, and also how you can get a sneak peek at the Depatche memorabilia collection that's going to be featured at the Museum of Sports as we finalize our new home at the newly redesigned South Philly Sports Complex. Nick Depatche Jr. is going to be here. But up first, as the eternal hope for, say, a Flyers new season is now unfolding as their season's starting, our complainer-in-chief, Lou Scheinfeld, has some thoughts on why the Broad Street Bullies are Philly's favorite all-time team. And you had done a little bit of polling or research on this, Lou.
Yes, I did. A very informal poll. I asked my wife, my cat, and my dog. My wife didn't give me an answer. And then, but the dog and cats, they understood. Yeah. They've been living. They run when I scream at the TV. And so,
oh, yes.
But you know what? The reason, I'll give you three words that why the Broad Street Bullies are Philadelphia's favorite all-time team. They didn't collapse.
Yeah.
Collapse. Exactly. You know what? Yep. It's bad enough to watch a team lose. We don't lose. We collapse. The Phillies collapse. The Eagles collapse. The 76ers collapse. Our team collapses more often than a one-eyed drunk at the link.
Wow, that's a good one. Did you make that up?
Well, actually, I've said it wrong. It's one-legged drunk.
One-legged, one-eyed drunk. One-eyed, whose name was Eileen.
Yeah, same thing. They're, They're all up there in the 700 level. Anyway, it's really rough. It's really rough, I got to tell you, being a sports fan. But the Broadstreet Bullies, and here I was talking to Sam Carcitti yesterday, the former Inquirer hockey writer. Yeah, 34 or 39 years he was hockey. And he's working on a book called Bullies, which has already been adapted for 15, 30-minute TV episodes.
Oh, we got to have them back on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're shopping it around right now. They have a well-known director. And I said, you know, the reason that they're so well-loved is they live here.
Yeah.
Mike Schmidt moved out of town. Chase Utley never lived here. Jimmy Rollins went to California. They come back for special honors, but they don't live here. The Broadstreet Bullies live here. There are at least 20 former Broadstreet Flyers living in the direct area. And Sam said, why do you think that is? And I said, because none of them wanted to go too far from Rexy's.
You read my mind. I have been there many times in the last couple of years. And I had to be reminded that that was their original watering hole.
That was Spectrum 2, the Rexy's. And the reason they loved Rexy's is they could walk home.
<You know? laughs> Sort of.
And there you go. Yeah, yeah. But they did not collapse. Not only did they win it in their seventh year in existence, they came back the following year and did it again, winning over 50 games to prove it was no fluke. Dave Schultz proved that he wasn't a goon or just a goon. He scored 20 goals. He scored a goal in the finals. He was a team player. And I posted something on behalf of the Museum of Sports recently. It was Dave Schultz wearing a helmet. That was a picture, cover of Philadelphia Magazine back in the 70s. Uh-huh. And what I said was, the Flyers don't win those two Stanley Cups without Dave Schultz. Well, we got over 1,000 responses and likes and shares, and everybody agreed. Sure, Bernie Parent had the two best years in the history of any goaltender in the NHL. And Bobby Clark did what he did. And Rick McLeish sniped, and Billy Barb and everybody else. But Dave Schultz gave that team balls on the road and at home. Yep. There was something called the Flyers flu. Players did not, all of a sudden, they didn't feel well when they came to Philadelphia. Some of these guys are great skaters, but they didn't want no parts of the hammer. So for that reason, winning two cups, never really collapsing. Of course, I haven't won anything in 50 some years, but we're not going to hold that against them. That's not their fault. The Bullies did what they had to do. And exactly. God bless them.
Yep. You heard that clip off the top, and that was from a Broadstreet Bullies retrospective. And they said, you know, in life, you need heroes and villains, and the Broadstreet Bullies were both. And that
that
pretty much capsulized it. Hey, before we go to break here, there was an editorial, sort of a sports editorial in the Inquirer this week on the what should happen to the Temple football team. I'm going to share the cover picture here, but it's the headline was Temple football, we love you, but we have to talk. With 30 losing seasons in the last 43 years, is it time for the university to drop its football program? And it makes a somewhat persuasive. Dave Caldwell, who's a writer for the Inquirer, makes a somewhat persuasive argument that, given the history, given the record, given the fact that the better coaches move on, given the fact that they attempted a few years ago to, you know, build a stadium, or at least talked about it and axed a bunch of club sports teams, which was hugely unpopular. They're wondering, and they barely, you know, get attendance at Lincoln Financial Field for those games. And the question is, you know, is it time to do away with that program and perhaps plow that money into something else? I'm sure a Bill Bradshaw would have some strong feelings on that. But Lou, your thoughts on that?
It's sad. It's sad. excuse me. Attendance.
Apparently, it's very sad.
Yeah. Attendance is pathetic. If they bus students down free of charge, no tickets, just put them in the stands, and they still don't get 10,000-11,000 people.
Yeah.
They thought the answer would be to build their own stadium, but that got knocked down by the neighbors. It's really sad. And they pay a fortune to play at the lake, a fortune, believe it or not.
Yeah.
The Eagles don't do them any favors. But it's tough. I would hate to see it done away with. It adds a certain cachet to the campus, to coming to Temple. But I think they should drop down and play in a lower league. And
they've sort of bounced around from different conferences. And
you never, every team they play except one or two, there's no rivalry. I mean, who cares about Southern, Eastern, Western, and Florida? Eastern Carolina and North Jersey. Yeah. You know, it's these teams you never heard of. So,
well, you know, Drexel University has functioned for how long without a football program, and certainly trafficked in their basketball program, and to a certain extent track. So, you know, it is a survivable move. It's not something that, you know, people would say
they've tried.
It's death. Hey, we want to make sure our viewers and listeners go to the museumofsports.org to make a tax-deductible contribution. And that way you can be part of Philly's new sports shrine that is finalizing a new home at the Comcast Spectacor redesigned South Philly Sports Complex. And we're getting some cool swag together for you when you donate. And don't forget to buy Lou's book, Blades, Bands, and Bowlers. You can go to the museumofsports.org. Lou will pen a personalized greeting. When we return, politics, sports, and growing up a Philly sports fan in Northeast Philly with Pennsylvania State Representative Jaron Solomon when we return here on the Museum of Sports Show on Talk 860 and Facebook Live. Back in a couple of minutes.
It was 1967, and Philadelphia was in a rut. The economy, riots, Vietnam. That is, until the Broad Street Bullies rallied the region's spirits and brought more than 2 million into the streets to celebrate. You can read all about it in Lou Scheinfeld's candid memoir, Blades, Bands, and Ballers, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You'll love the inside stories about Frank Sinatra, Ed Snyder, Bernie Perrant, Frank Rizzo, Elvis Presley, the 76ers, Mick Jagger, Electric Factory Concerts, and Kate Smith. And you'll find out how Lou Scheinfeld helped Ed Snyder rescue the Flyers and, against all odds, got the Spectrum built. Blades, Bands, and Ballers. Get a signed first edition copy at themuseumofsports.org. Themuseumofsports.org. The book the Philadelphia Inquirer called a fascinating and hilarious read. Blades, Bands, and Ballers. An ode to a building that truly rocked.
The Museum of Sports Show is presented by Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular and Autonomic Center. Dr. Nicholas Depatche is a caring specialist who uses natural antioxidants, nitric oxide, and anti-inflammatory agents to treat heart disease, hypertension, palpitations, and more with minimum medicines. To learn more, please call Dr. Nicholas Depatche, MD-FACC, author of 4 books and over 100 articles and abstracts, at 856-589-6034. That's 856-589-6034.
Did you miss a recent Museum of Sports show? No worries. You can see or listen to any of our previous shows on the Museum of Sports website or on our Facebook page. You'll love our lineup of great guests, including Merrill Reese, the Eagles' Vi Sekahema, Bill Berge and Kevin Riley, Flyers broadcasters Jim Jackson and Steve Coates, and the Phillies' always colorful Larry Boa. The Museum of Sports is on the air and Facebook, and you can join the fun every Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. on WWDB 860 and Facebook Live.
Rocky's story paralleled another group of city athletes, the Philadelphia Eagles. These men, like Rocky, were not always the most gifted players in the game, but in their first season under Coach Dick Vermeil, they had something to prove, that they could do battle against anyone in football and come away with their heads held high.
We're back on the Museum of Sports Show here on Talk 860 and Facebook Live, brought to you every week, as always, by the Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. I'm Doug Scheimel, along with Lou Scheinfeld. Our first guest today grew up a huge Philly sports fan. He was living above his grandparents' butcher shop up in the great Northeast, Philadelphia. And somehow that kind of led him astray and to law school and fighting corporate corruption. And then as an Army Reserve JAG officer, that is Judge Advocate General, in case you have forgotten. And then somehow wound up at the Pennsylvania State House and the Pennsylvania House of Representatives. And he's also serving in the Pennsylvania National Guard. He is a huge sports fan and a first timer here on the Museum of Sports Show, a big Museum of Sports Show. Welcome to State Rep Jared Solomon. Jared, how are you?
Great. Thank you so much for having me. It's good to be with you. What an introduction.
Did I bollocks up that intro pretty good? Did I get that?
No, it got me excited and believing in myself.
I was impressed. Yeah,
that's what we're here for. This is a self-help show.
Yeah, I should come on more often.
So you've got a great story, and you know, like I said, I kind of cobbled stuff together from all your bios online. Raised by a single mom, you lived above your grandparents' butcher shop up in Castor Gardens.
Yeah, exactly.
What was that like? Because you know you're young enough, but you're old enough to maybe have sat and listened to a game on a transistor radio under the covers when your mom's telling you to go to bed, kind of thing. When and how did the Philly sports bug bite you? I mean, it sounds like a classic Philly upbringing.
Really, it truly, and sports wove its way into my upbringing from as early, really, Doug, as I can remember. You know, growing up, helping to raise me, besides my single mom, was my grandfather. And one of the things that we bonded over was Philly sports. I played Little League baseball for the Pee Wee League, Little League champions.
Congratulations.
That was not in the bio, Doug.
I was looking for that stuff, believe me.
That's right. Over at Max Myers, the Max Myers Padres, we won the championship. And, you know, even though my memories as a kid were very few and far between with my dad, really the only thing that we could talk about and we could relate to one another is sports.
Yeah.
And actually, to that day, when we reconnected 25 years later, it remained sports. So sports has the ability to find common ground, even amongst folks that have a strained relationship. It really is so powerful.
And that's very interesting that you say that, because you were probably, even though you were apart for a number of years, you were listening and watching the same sports events. It really is, they always say it's that shared emotional experience. Lou knows, you can tell by just looking at him, how traumatic it's been growing up in Philadelphia as a Philadelphia sports fan.
I say our teams just don't lose, they collapse.
Except this year, Lou, except this year.
Well, the Phillies, exactly.
I know.
Yeah, it's you know, I always say the same thing, that a 16-year-old boy in Boston has already been to 10 parades.
So. Yeah, which is just wrong.
What's that tell you? And I hate right. Boston.
But go ahead, Doug.
No, go ahead, dude.
Oh, I was just going to say, to your point, growing up, when I was still in touch with my dad, I still remember the moment that Mike Schmidt hit his 500th home run against the Pirates.
Right.
And just this such excitement at that moment, and never forgetting the emotions I felt, the energy that was there, the announcer that called it. That moment is sort of frozen in time. And sports has the ability to really bring folks together.
And this is the craziest, most passionate, frantic sports city. Everybody says, oh, we've got the best sport. We have the best sports city. I don't think there's any doubt about that. We have our great teams. Every year we go to the mat to see them win. And win or lose, we come back. we come back. The Eagles got booed a little bit the other day, but that's the passion. That's the passion. And there's no city like this, Jared. And we're lucky to be here.
Lou, I completely agree. Sports has the ability to galvanize a city, especially our city, like nothing else can. It just brings people together. Everyone has a hop in their step. They're happier about our city. The potholes don't bother us as much. The abandoned cars we look past. It just brings us together. Another memory I have is the 93 Phillies and going to some of those playoff games against the Braves. And then, of course, the Blue Jays, where the stadium was simply electric.
Well, that's the way we are. And look, I've been in sports for 50, 60 years, grew up here. But when the Eagles lose on Sunday, I feel lousy on Monday. I really do. When they win, I swear I get up earlier. I feel good. I know that's stupid, whatever, but I can't help it.
Everything's right in the world. No, I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm not even mad at my wife. I mean, everything's good, you know.
Wow, Lou, that's impressive.
But Lou and Ed Snyder were a huge part of kind of broadening, expanding, re-educating Philadelphia on sports franchises in bringing the Flyers here and building the Spectrum. And it's, and as you said, Lou, this was not a hockey town when they came here. They were worried that they might get as big a crowd as they get for soccer.
Yeah, well, Ed Snyder, when we opened, he said, I just hope we don't embarrass ourselves. And the team finished in first place that year, but got wiped out by those big, bad St. Louis Blues in the first round. And Ed swore that we'll never get beat up physically again. And then he helped build this team with Keith Allen. But it's another case of a passionate owner for 50 years. He willed that team to be a contender all the time. And since he's passed away, that now they're rebuilding from the bottom up. So it sounds good. It's the right way to go. But hockey became a fixture almost immediately in Philadelphia.
You're so right, Lou. And I remember as a kid, because of Snyder's leadership, playing street hockey almost immediately. It became popular, and it became popular because of those early teams, those winning teams that kids like me at the time looked up to. By the way, the Snyder legacy, as you know, Lou, yes, is sports, but it's also using sports to do good. I mean, the Snyder Youth
Hockey.
Oh, incredible program that has really transformed the futures of so many youth throughout our city.
He said that was the only legacy he wanted. He didn't want any buildings named after him, streets or whatever. He said, I want kids to play hockey. And you know what? He was so smart that when we first came here, there was very few hockey rinks around the area. And there was one in Radnor that was going to close, and he bought it. And he said, we got to keep the ice. And he was so smart. He said, the kids got to have a place to skate. And that was way back when.
That's right.
There's so much sports history here. And one of the things, this is the Museum of Sports show. And I'm going to share a screen here that has got some of the images that, we've been putting out as we kind of do our big relaunch in the, as we finalize a home down in the new Comcast Spectacor redesigned South Philly Sports Complex. And, so one of the things that has been, and a lot of folks have said, and Jared, you and I have kind of gone back and forth with this via email, people were wondering, why doesn't Philly have its own shrine? Why doesn't it have some sort of kind of pantheon where people can go to see not just the greatness of Philly sports, but the world's largest and most valuable sports memorabilia collection?
It is a must in our city. Young and old alike will get to see what sports means in our city. they will get to understand that sports is in the DNA of Philly. And this museum will sort of be an entry point for new sports fans in Philly and old to come back and also reminisce about what those early, whether they were positive memories or some real heartbreakers, but what they felt like. It sort of will be a celebration of all the senses at one moment. And we will feel very palpably that galvanizing impact that sports has throughout our city.
You know, kids today don't know who Julius Erving was. 10 years from now, they won't know who Allen Iverson or Mike Schmidt was. And we've got to keep that alive. I mean, I know the A's, from the Philadelphia A's from the 29, 30, 31, with a powerhouse, a dynasty. We got to keep it alive. We have to keep the Negro League alive. This is all part of Philadelphia. It goes back to the 1800s and something. So it's a great thing for kids to show them, hey, these guys made it in life. Because they stayed in school, because they practiced, because they made good choices, and you got to do the same.
Yeah, I completely agree, and it's something that I'm dedicated to help all of you do this work and get this done. It's sort of a one critical missing link in how we tell the story of our city. Really, you cannot tell the history of our city without telling the sports legacy. Yeah. Of our city.
You know, I pitched one wealthy man in Philadelphia last year for a big donation, and he said, "Don't we already have a sports museum?" I said, "No." He says, "How can that be?" I said, "Well, that's where we are."
Exactly. Well, and one of the things, Jared, where we got to cross paths with you last year, you had been a co-author of a bill for PA 250 and to try to get some wonderful, wonderful projects, infrastructure and other great community benefit projects around the state tied into the semi-quincentennial. I always have to make sure I get all the syllables correctly in that. But the celebration of the 250th birthday of this nation, PA 250. And it's such an incredibly great bill. And that's why we were down there pitching the Museum of Sports as a wonderful thing. One of the things we've mentioned to Comcast Spectacor is to do a pop-up tent city to show, hey, look what's coming here, and tie that in to the 2026 celebrations in Philadelphia. And this is what our artist came up with is one of the examples of what a Museum of Sports tent would look like. And there'll be others for all the other great tenants that Comcast Spectacor is in the process of bringing down there.
If you think about it, and I love the rendering. If you think about it, we have the ability in our city and state to think about who we are as Philadelphians, as Pennsylvanians, as Americans in 2026. What our history was, what our present is, and then, of course, most importantly, what do we want to see in the years ahead?
Yeah, exactly.
What is the future we want to chart? And for me, and I think, Lou, for you and Doug, for you, sports is an essential ingredient of that Philadelphia story. That is something we must tell and retell because it has always been those moments that inspire our city.
Exactly. Hey, Jared, before we go, I know you've kind of acquired a little bit of a sports memorabilia collection, but you didn't want to upset your mom by digging through the boxes and the closets at the house. Give us a quick thumbnail. Two of your three favorite sports memorabilia items.
Yes. Which my mom is currently guarding under lock and key. Here's the best one. Wait till you hear this one. In Atlantic City, my grandfather took me. It was when I was about 10 years old, so late 80s, they had a show where every living 500 or more home run hitter was all at the Tropicana. It was called Trop World Casino, all at the same time.
Wow.
So literally, I went from table to table Ernie Banks, Willie Mays.
Oh my God.
Mike Schmidt. Mickey Mantle. They were all there. And I have signed, I got individual balls. I didn't put them all on one baseball. I have signed balls from all of the living home run hitters who were all in one room at one moment in time. If there has been some, if there ever was something like that, I don't know of anywhere else in the country that it took place.
You need to assuage your mother's fears. You need to dig that out and you're bringing those on the show the next time. That is your, those are your marching orders. All right.
All right. I will. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to tell her that Doug and Lou told me it's got to be done.
Tell her, Doug. I don't want her yelling at me.
I won't give away any emails or cell numbers.
And we'll have you on with our King of Sports Collectibles, whose family is our partner in the museum. They've got the world's largest, most valuable sports memorabilia collection. And we've been doing these scare the crap out of the guest spot appraisals on the show. And we've seen a few people fall off their chairs when Nick Jr. gave him an appraisal. So once you've let us know when you get those baseballs, and then the time will happen.
I would love it. That would be a lot of fun.
Pennsylvania State Representative Jared Solomon. Fantastic to finally get you on the show, and keep up the good work. Keep us posted on PA 250 and all the wonderful things you're doing.
Gentlemen, this has been great. Thanks so much for the time. Be well.
All right.
Thank you.
Come back anytime.
You got it. Take care.
When we come back, Philly fans were voted most annoying. Well, I don't know. Our next guest is a Spectrum super fan. John Pisa is going to be back on the Museum of Sports show, and we continue on Talk 860 and Facebook Live. Back in a moment.
Can you imagine Philadelphia without the Broad Street Bullies or its fabled Spectrum Arena? Well, it almost happened until Lou Scheinfeld and Ed Snyder, otherwise known as Flash and Cash, teamed up to rescue the Flyers and got America's Showplace up and running. It was 1967, and the world was in a whole different place. You can read all about it in Lou Scheinfeld's heartfelt memoir, Blades, Bands, and Ballers. Get a signed copy at themuseumofsports.org. Themuseumofsports.org. Blades, Bands, and Ballers, now available.
The Museum of Sports Show is presented by Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular and Autonomic Center. Dr. Nicholas Depatche is a caring specialist who uses natural antioxidants, nitric oxide, and anti-inflammatory agents to treat shortness of breath, brain fog, chronic disease, autonomic dysfunction syndrome, and more with minimum medicines. To learn more, please call Nicholas Depatche, MD, FACC, at 856-589-6034. That's 856-589-6034.
Who remembers the Philadelphia A's or the Warriors or the old arena at 46th and Market? We do, and that's why the Museum of Sports is being planned for Philadelphia. What's it like to face a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, ride your bike up the Maniunk Wall, or drive in the Pocono 500? We've got rare items from Babe Ruth, Mike Schmidt, Chuck Bednar, Bernie Perron, and Wilt Chamberlain. The Museum of Sports is on the air, and you can join the fun every Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. on WWDB 860.
This is Pennsylvania. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Home to the most annoying sound in the world. That's right, you guessed it. Eagles fans, who in a recent poll were voted the most annoying fans in the NFL and likely the entire world.
We're back on the Museum of Sports Show, sponsored by the Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. I'm Doug Scheimel, along with Lou Scheinfeld. Our next guest down there, you see him. He has given himself the – well, actually, Lou has given him the moniker that you see down there. And he, John, sort of after Lou's X-rated book on the Flyers and the Spectrum, Blades, Bands, and Ballers came out, all sorts of fan stories surfaced, and a lot of them – came from our next guest, who Lou says qualifies as Spectrum superfan from, I don't know, are you in Longport or Florida? A big Museum of Sports Show. Welcome, Mr. John Pisa, back on the Museum of Sports Show. How you doing, John?
Gentlemen, I'm doing great. I'm in Longport, New Jersey.
That's okay, good. I was wondering where you're. Spectrum superfan, John Pisa, you know, it's...
And Veterans Stadium and Franklin Field and Connie Mack Stadium. Let's not, you know, leave those...
Yeah, I don't be too myopic here. You heard, I don't know if you could hear that clip coming out of the break, but there was a poll recently about Philadelphia sports fans being voted the most annoying in the league. And I think it was a recent poll, wasn't it, Lou? Like back in
could
the
have been any year in the last 50.
And, you know, it was done by outsiders, and they like to say those sort of things and that sort of thing. But the one trademark that I think most Philly fans can agree upon is the sort of collective inferiority complex. And it's also part of the whole manic depression disorder. And most of the manic highs are the problems of unrealistic expectations, and the depressive lows are where we spend most of our time after the team collapses, according to Lou. John, how far back do your Philly sports highs and lows go? Because you were at all those pantheons of sports history here.
One of the only few things of getting old is the memories of things like that. But 64, I was 8 years old. I've told this story a million times. Panic was running around with my father. My father was a guy that would take me to the local tap room with him, much to the chagrin of my mother, but he would say I would get a better education there. And I watched these old-time Philadelphia sports fans, and I would bet on Philly games 10 cents. And when they win, they won, they gave me 10 cents. When they lost, I didn't have any money. Yeah. And then I watched that collapse. And this is it was hard for me to grasp as an eight-year-old and everybody panicking when the beginning of that losing streak started. And then at home every day, and they kept losing, and then they kept losing. And I'd watch Sally Star in the morning, which was the kids show with cartoons. And she'd bring in a rabbit's foot. Well, this will be the night they're going to win. And they never won. And it's a scar on this city. And voted most aggravating fans. Well, they'd be aggravated. Everybody be aggravated if you have such a great city with such great and passionate and knowledgeable fans and have so few championships. I think a lot of people would be aggravated.
Yeah. Well, Lou has suffered through all of that and somehow lived to tell about it and extolled the virtues of the one of the first glimmers of hope with the Broad Street Bullies and the most beloved team, correct, Lou, according to your informal survey?
I said that earlier today. They're the most beloved team in Philadelphia sports because they live here. They still live here. There's over 20 members of the roster from those two teams that live in Philadelphia. And I said earlier on the show, the reason they live here is they didn't know how to get away from Rexy's, and they wanted to be able to walk home after sort Rexy. Of. So, yeah. But no, we got great sports fans, great teams. We live and die with them. We die a lot more than we live. But every year, as they say, springs eternal. Hope springs eternal. So we're hoping that the Eagles win a couple more games and don't collapse. We hope the 76ers get past the first round. The Knicks took them out, God forbid, and then the Mets take the Phillies out. I mean, it's downright humiliating.
Yeah. And it was arguable whether the Mets really took the Phillies out or if the Phillies eliminated themselves.
Very good.
Please lost that.
I don't want to give the Mets too much credit
on that one.
But so, John, you sent over some pretty cool things here. I'm going to share the screen with some of those photos you sent. And once we get that up on the screen, kind of tell me what was the genesis for the collection here, what these are and kind of how you came to get them.
Yeah, you know, I'm like a pack rat, Doug, and I've kept so many things from my youth, yearbooks and newspapers, full newspapers. But back in the day when newspapers were our source of information, both the Bulletin and the Inquirer would put out sports guides in the beginning of those seasons. And I have more of the Bulletin. They seem to be more a better look at all that. And I just saved them. And so I got them going back from the early 60s in both football and baseball. And I just kept them. And as you can see, there's some great old pictures. You got pictures of Gary Ballman and Mike Ditka as the Eagles. People don't remember that. And
And I believe is one of those. Is this Norm Snead right here?
Correct.
That is Norm Snead. Who yeah. just I think he just passed. Did he not?
He did. Within the last year or two. Correct.
Yeah. And Don Money, whose grandson was signed by the Phillies just this year. Correct. So that's a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah. The newspapers. That's another sad story. But they used to put out wonderful things. And John, you got a great collection here. Is that Tim Rossovich up there on the top right?
Yeah.
The eight glass. Light bulbs. Chewed on shotgun shot glasses.
Yeah. Well, and what's really cool is when every once in a while, in fact, this was a great trip for me because I pull them out of my closet and then I open them up and I start looking at them and I start reading the stories and they're just so much fun. It's a time machine back to 67, 66, 65, 68, 69. There's one with one of the Phillies ones. It was great. And it gives a little bio of the players. And Johnny Carlson, you know, and in the offseason, Johnny works at selling cars in Glenside, PA. Like these players had jobs because they didn't make that much money and they all had jobs in the offseason. Yeah. And it's just the coolest thing to read.
Well, you know, John and I and our dear friend Kevin McDonough in St. Louis, who said he's going to try and listen in today if he technically could figure out how to do it. We text back and forth during games. And afterwards, we go, damn, another of this. Oh, darn this. Oh, that got to get a new quarter. Oh, this and that. But, John, you're usually pretty positive.
I'm an optimistic guy. I'm trying. You try to be positive and realistic at the same time. I'm objective. I was on St. Louis radio just yesterday. A good friend of mine hosts a show, and he always calls me up and, you know, what happened to the Phillies and what's going on with the Eagles. And you just got to, you know, explain it like it's him, you know, the good, the bad and the ugly. So, but Lou, I can't, agree with you more. And I've traveled the country. I lived in another city for a long time, and St. Louis being one. And there's not a greater sports town than Philadelphia. It's just shocking that we have so few championships, a lot of great teams, tremendous characters, amazing stories. If you think about the writers that have come through this town, the broadcasters, the coaches that have gone on, the Jack Ramseys, and it's a Hall of Fame litany of people, and one of the oldest cities in the country, and the teams, and yet we have so few championships. It's just, it's almost like impossible that could have actually happened, and it has.
You know how bad it is? You talk about coaches and championships. We fired a coach, and he wins the Stanley Cup in St. Louis.
Well, of course.
And another coach couldn't take it here anymore, burned out. He left, and he wins the Super Bowl in St. Louis. Our cast-offs do better than our new hires.
Right. But think about the writers and the broadcasters and the John Facendas of the world. I mean, the list literally goes on and on of Philadelphia's impact.
I think Jack, you had Tom Brookshire, Jack Whitaker.
Yeah.
The list is endless.
Harry
Callis. Hey, I know, John, you said you had a couple of things at hand there for a quick show and tell. What do you got?
Yearbooks. Okay. So I got yearbooks from 63, 64, 66. How about this is a great picture, 67, whoever that young
or that kid is.
Hot dog, right? I mean, it's great.
That was the Phillies youth movement.
There you go. Oh, here's the funny thing, too. So from 66 to 67, they were a dollar. And then in 68, I think it went up to still a dollar. And in 71, it went up to $1.50. So for like five straight years.
That's because they moved in 71. They moved into the vet.
So they needed the operating cost, you know.
Right.
Those are in good shape. Do you keep those in like plastic folders? No, you keep them in a stack in the bathroom?
They're in a closet with no light. I got a bunch of sign balls. I got pennants. I got all of those guys. I have Ring magazines. Again, I've been a pack rat. I wish I had saved my baseball cards. That would have been very valuable. We used to pitch those. God only knows where they ended up.
Yeah.
And those would be of some significant value probably.
You've got a passel of grandkids now running around, and you better hide that stuff.
Well, this is all I said. You better be nice to me because you may not realize how valuable this stuff is. One of my nine grandchildren, I'll pass this on, Doug.
That's why I'm telling you, I don't know if you want to hang around past the break. We can have old Nick DiPaccio Jr., our King of Sports Collectibles, give you a quick spot appraisal on that. You game for that?
No, 100%. Yeah.
All right. I'll tell you what. Spectrum superfan John Pease is going to stay with us through the break here when we come back with our King of Sports Collectibles. For a little knock John off his seat, spot appraisal when the Museum of Sports Show continues right here on Talk 860 and Facebook Live. Back in a second.
Can you imagine Philadelphia without the Broad Street Bullies or its fabled Spectrum Arena? Well, it almost happened until Lou Scheinfeld and Ed Snyder, otherwise known as Flash and Cash, teamed up to rescue the Flyers and got America's Showplace up and running. It was 1967, and the world was in a whole different place. You can read all about it in Lou Scheinfeld's heartfelt memoir, Blades, Bands, and Ballers. Get a signed copy at themuseumofsports.org. Themuseumofsports.org. Blades, Bands, and Ballers, now available.
The Museum of Sports Show is presented by DiPaccio Franklin Cardiovascular and Autonomic Center. Dr. Nicholas DiPaccio is a caring specialist who uses natural antioxidants, nitric oxide, and anti-inflammatory agents to treat shortness of breath, brain fog, chronic disease, autonomic dysfunction syndrome, and more with minimum medicines. To learn more, please call Nicholas DiPaccio, MD, FACC, at 856-589-6034. That's 856-589-6034.
Hey, buddy, what can I get you? How about the ultimate sports memorabilia basement?
All right, we're back on the Museum of Sports here on Talk 860 and Facebook Live. I'm Doug Scheimel along with Lou Scheinfeld, Museum of Sports Show, brought to you by, logo please, the DiPaccio Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. Next, he is our King of Sports Collectibles, whose family has the world's largest and most valuable sports memorabilia collection, valued well in excess of $50 million. And they are our proud partners in the Museum of Sports that's finalizing a home down at the new South Philly Sports Complex. Say hi to Mr. Nick DiPaccio Jr. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Doug, Lou, super fan.
Hey, John has been kind enough to stay with us, Nick, and you're always wonderful to do these spot appraisals where we scare the bejesus out of some of these folks. John, why don't you show Nick what you've got there? And okay. Nick, give us kind of a quick flash appraisal on those.
Philly yearbooks from 63, 64, 66, 67, and 68, and 71.
So five of them.
Five of them.
Including 64, which was an infamous year.
Two of them, because they did one, and then when Bunning pitched a perfect game, they did a second edition, and it's got him on the mound with the starting lineup behind him. So there was two editions in 64. I think that they didn't always do two editions, but I think that was a special year.
And Nick, and the 71 one commemorated their move into the vet.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I got a ton of stuff like this. What I shared with Doug and is a bunch of the Inquirer and the Bulletin used to put out sports
guides.
The football guides and the baseball guides.
And I just put some of them up there, Nick. So
those are fun.
Those two you're in your possession.
Oh, I got it all. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
All right. So
what would some of the value? Yeah. What would be some of the more valuable ones, and how much you think, Nick?
So the 1964 is infamous, obviously, and the one with the Bunning perfect game, that's probably the most expensive of the set. And I would say that is probably, I mean, it's not like earth shattering, but you could probably get between $50 and $100 for it, which is more than you paid for it.
Oh, that's a better than a punch
more than
in the
my
head,
father
John.
Paid for it.
More than he paid for it.
Yeah, you said they won a dollar or something, less than a dollar. Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know what's funny? It's framed, and because it's been in glass frame with a 64 Phillies World Series ticket, and I understand that there's a ton of those around, but it's in mint condition. I have an original pennant, a 64 Phillies pennant. And followed by autographed pictures of Richie Allen and Clay Darrenple and Jim Bunning and Gene Mock. And along with the picture, and it's my homage to, I was 8 years old in 64, and that was my favorite team that broke my heart, but It was a year that lived in infamy, right?
In a way, the 64 Phillies are remembered more than the Cardinals.
Oh, right, because of the collapse, correct?
You like when we, well, at least in this area, obviously. But I mean, when you say 1964, who won the World Series? I bet you, like, there are fans out there that will say, I don't know who won the World Series. Well, do you know who collapsed? Oh, the Phillies collapsed that year.
We know who lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lou was crying, I bet.
Right.
I was in shock.
Lou was a baby. What do you think on the framed one with the mint condition ticket and the autographed pennant?
Oh yeah, no, with that then you're going to bring up the value.
Yeah,
I would say I mean, how many of those tickets are out there? Would you say
a couple thousand?
It's got to be.
But yeah. How many lasted? How many are actually in circulation now?
That's a good question because I had 20 and I can't find them.
So you got to figure that over the years,
yeah,
they get lost, thrown out. Maybe people move out of the house. They're in their attic. They have boxes. They say, oh, we don't need this anymore. It ends up in the box. Right. But anyway, I would say that's that adds about $200 to the value.
Nice.
So you know what I'd like me to do is one of these. I don't know if I should take photos. Because I got a ton of stuff. I ring magazines, and I got Frazier and Ali on the covers, and just a lot of stuff that I have no idea of the value. It was fun for me because I'm a super nut sports fan, and I'm a pack rat, and I kept a lot of this stuff. They're in a closet. No light shines on them. I got autographed baseballs from the 60s and Johnny Carlson, and, you know, I went to a Met game. I got all kinds of Mets from the 64 Mets and all that. But what I'd like to do, maybe even for insurance purposes too, is get somebody like you to tell me, give me a ballpark of what it's all worth. So, and then we got my good friend Kevin McDonough and can write me an insurance policy on it, Luke.
It is hard to insure. I could tell you from experience. It's hard to insure memorabilia. But you have to stop by our museum. We have a lot of boxing in there. I mean,
right.
You absolutely have to stop by.
And bring it?
Sorry,
if they like bring some of these magazines, or is that?
Oh, you could. I just meant you have to come look at everything.
I would love it.
You should do that before you go home, John. It's in New Jersey. And,
Sewell, correct?
You're in Sewell?
Sewell, New Jersey.
Yeah, probably. I'm down to Shore. I should do that one of these days.
It's about 40 minutes for you, 35 minutes, and they'll show you around. It'll literally blow you away.
Oh, you kid! I'll be a kid in a candy store there. No
right.
All right, super fan John Pisa, we'll get that set up for you with Nick Jr., man. Thank you so much, as always.
Love you guys.
You.
See ya.
Have a great show.
Thanks, man.
All right.
So, Nick, how's it going down the museum way? You've been getting some bookings, I understand, and it's got the traction.
Oh, yes. We had Jack Cittarelli stop by the other day. And won't get into the politics of it, but he loved it. We did have Democrats and Republicans, so we catered to both.
Smart.
That's the thing about sports. It brings those mortal enemies together.
We had Steve Sweeney stop by in the past, and we had Cittarelli, so we do.
Did you put the pigs outside yet?
The pigs are not outside yet.
Okay.
There's a sign on the front door when you open it on the inside, and it's got my dad's picture on it. It's interesting. Other than that,
why don't you explain what the pigs are?
Oh yeah.
I think we've shown them from the Facebook page before.
Yeah, we have. But just for any new listeners, they're giant pigs that are life size, and then some.
Yeah.
I meant life size like us, not like a regular pig, bigger than a regular pig.
These are supersized pigs.
Supersized pig, yeah. They were used to put peanuts in the rear end. You would open, there's a latch, and there were peanuts stored in there. One is decorated to look like the Philly Fanatic, and the other, it has like a Liberty Bell on top, so it looks like the Liberty Bell.
Oh yeah, they're
and these were cool. At the Veterans Stadium or CONEMAX Stadium.
Correct, Veterans Stadium, because the Fanatic, you have to figure he was around. So
right, yeah. They're huge. They're more than life size. They're big pigs.
Yeah, more than life size.
And you guys are unboxing stuff every day. You know, with Michael Goldis and with Bruce Shaw, and you're finding new stuff that you guys even forgot that you had in there. Any new discoveries before we go?
New discoveries, not new, and we're trying to hold off on any new acquisitions, but it's difficult. So I'll let you know about new acquisitions next time.
Excellent. Hey, that's all the time we've got this week. We want to thank all of our guests: Pennsylvania State Representative and sports fan Jared Solomon, Spectrum superfan John Pisa, and of course, our king of sports collectibles, Nick DePaccia Jr. And don't forget to buy Lou's recent book, Blades, Bands, and Ballers. You can get an autographed copy from Lou by going to themuseumofsports.org. And we're going to be offering some cool swag for everybody who donates. So keep checking themuseumofsports.org for when that's going to be available. Museum of Sports Show brought to you by the DePaccia Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. For Lou Scheinfeld, Nick DePaccia Jr., I'm Doug Scheimel, reminding you of what our good friend Carly Simon always says, Lewis.
These are the good old days.
They sure as hell are. Enjoy them.
All right, you guys have great good old days.
Enjoy your good old days too, Nick.